Now, Jimmy Savile, Stuart Hall, Max Clifford, Rolf Harris, a depressingly long list of celebrities convicted of historic child abuse. But what of the effect on the victims and indeed the services there to support them? Well, the founder of the Southmead Project, a charity in Bristol which helps victims of child abuse, says the almost constant media coverage is causing a huge strain on his services, so much so that the demand is leading to waiting lists. Dr. Mike Pearce is also a renowned expert in historic trauma.
The fact is, the flashbacks may occur. Memory of the abuse might come flooding back. And if there aren't services readily available for people, then they might well suffer as a consequence.
Let's talk to Ian McFadyen, who is a survivor of child abuse and joins me on the line now. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
Not at all.
There's just so much in the headlines, and one of the things that I know that we're hearing about from Mike is the fact that this can cause flashbacks and bring back memories.
Absolutely. I mean, before I start, you know, disclosing anything, I would like to warn anybody out there who may well have been abused in their childhood, that if they're easily upset, I don't want to cause triggers for them. So, you know, please, you know, if you're close for PTSD or flashbacks, can I ask you to actually turn the radio off? Because I'm not here to upset anybody.
No, that's very pertinent. Yeah, a lot of people got very idyllic childhoods looking baggy, and yours was anything but. What happened to you at school?
Well, I mean, on the surface, I had an incredibly privileged childhood. My parents both worked abroad. They were very successful in business. And they wanted a better education for me. So they sent me to one of Britain's leading prep schools in Berkshire to be educated. And I went in as a boarder at a very young age, from about 8 up until just before my 14th birthday. And as far as most people were concerned, I was a happy little boy, having a happy childhood in a private education. Mm. The grim reality is that, unfortunately, my parents sent me to a school where, for a quarter of a century, there was a paedophile running, and you know, I was passed from teacher to teacher from the age of 9 years old. And serially abused.
It just doesn't bear thinking about. And at that time, and at that age, Ian, and I suppose you grow up very quickly in those sorts of circumstances, but how on earth do you cope with it? Who do you turn to? What goes through your mind?
But Steve, that people ask me, what could be different for me to come forward? You have to understand, my parents trusted these people. Why would I doubt that I should trust them? Mm. I was a little boy. I didn't know what was happening to me. I thought that this was normal behavior.
You thought this was a way of life?
Absolutely. I thought I was special. I thought I had been picked out and selected and that this was special attention. Mm. These people who abuse you create an atmosphere where they develop a relationship and you feel that you are in a relationship with these people.
So when did it start to hit you then, Ian, that this was not right, that this was something that was...
Well, my life hit the bricks, really, just as I turned and reached puberty. So the back end of 13, beginning of 14, I was beginning to understand more about sex and sexuality, and realized that, you know, it what had happened to me wasn't normal and was skewed. But because I was groomed, I thought I was complicit, and it was my fault that I had asked for this. So really conflicting feelings and emotions. And as most survivors of sexual abuse do, I ran off the rails. I just completely buried myself in drugs and alcohol.
Well, this was from the age of 12, was it?
Yeah, absolutely.
How were you getting heroin at 12?
Well, my parents worked in the Middle East, so I would go out on holiday in the Middle East. Mm. And I always mixed, because I was so sexualized at such a young age, I always mixed with older men. Mm. And, you know, I wasn't aware what my sexuality was, so I would offer myself to strange men. For sex, because that's what I thought I was taught to do. So for me to gain heroin at 12 was really quite easy. You know, people were offering me cannabis, to smoke cannabis at that age. Mm. And when there was no cannabis, heroin was offered. I knew no difference. Yeah.
The The end result of all this, I mean, it just sounds horrific, Ian, but you ended up losing everything, didn't you? You lost your home, you were into alcohol, the heroin, etc. It couldn't get much lower. You were on the street, weren't you?
You know, Steve, I've had crashing highs and crashing lows in my life. I worked for a spectacular hotel in Dubai. I had Range Rovers, company villas, a house in Scotland where I'm from and I live. You know, I had the beautiful girlfriend. Eventually, when I broke down and tried to deal with what had happened to me, I lost everything. I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost my friends, I lost my family, and I ended up bang on the streets in Edinburgh, sleeping rough, begging for 2.5 years, immersed and drowned in alcohol and drugs.
When you turn your life around, Ian, and when you do get, and you got a lot of help with this, didn't you? And the South Mead Project is doing fabulous work, isn't it, in helping people
in that sort of
situation?
There are many frontline services, and Bristol is incredibly lucky to have such a dynamic service. I mean, it really is. I was helped up in, you know, I was homeless and in Edinburgh, and I was helped by services up there. But South Mead Project is quite a unique project in the country, and Bristol is incredibly lucky to have those services. But I can only imagine, having worked in the voluntary sector, in the third sector myself for over the last 16 and a half years, funding and resources are tight at any time. Currently, with the amount of people who are coming forward and disclosing about what has happened to them in their childhood, they must be absolutely swamped.
It is an incredible story. We sadly got such a short time to talk about it. Let me just add, there's something that I want to come to is these flashbacks and what is happening in the media, just briefly. And I mean, does that have a profound effect on somebody who's gone through the kind of background you have?
I'll be quite honest with you, Steve. It's, you know, without getting into the pure dramatics and salaciousness of it, I have people on Twitter who are having to go away and they're self-harming. They are having suicidal thoughts. They are having breakdowns. This is really, you know, I mean, this is something. This is a scar that runs deep in people. This is a trauma that happened. You know, you're listening to a 48-year-old confident man. This is a trauma that happened one-on-one with little boys and little girls. You know, let's take it back down to what it was actually about. The trauma occurred when we were children, and that is a deep scar to heal.
Ian, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks
very much indeed. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ian McFadyen, survivor of child abuse. What a pointed and dramatic story. We'll be hearing from the South Mead Project a little bit later on in the show, and Dr. Mike Pearce.